We pray this moment, Lord, that you come and visit us. You know us individually as well as collectively. Touch the hearts of members this hour as we prepare our hearts and our mind to receive your word. May these words bear fruit in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit come and descend upon each one of us here, including thy servant who's going to deliver the word, so that when we leave this place, we will not leave it empty, but we will continue to drink deep of the well of salvation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please just remain standing. Let us go into the word of God. We are going to read two lessons this morning, one short one from the book of Matthew, chapter 6. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version of the Bible, which you can look in any translation you have. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. It's going to be projected as Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Money, possessions, fame, status, or whatever is valued more than the Lord. Amen. We go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 from verse 32 to 36. Acts chapter 20, 32 to 36. I'm reading from the King James Version. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them, all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that all these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have shewed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with all of them. I want to go back to that small phrase of verse 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. This morning we are going to talk about a reason to give. Amen. Please sit down. Happy Valentine's Day to you all. I think I only see two ladies in red. I'm disappointed. But it's always a joy and a privilege to be in the house of God. And today we are going to talk about a very, very interesting topic. For some reason, Pastor Badisiri is not here. Last week, I told you that I've started my official walk into seminary. And one of the things that somebody told me, to be a successful pastor, to be a successful priest, you have to know how to beg. Pastor, am I right? You have to know how to beg the congregation. So today, we are going to talk about a reason to give. A lot of people have this opinion that January is a difficult month financially. January is a very difficult month. Matter of fact, there is a social media post we always see in December that goes like this. Blessed are those who finish their December salary in December, for they will know the meaning of endurance in January. January is a difficult month. But for me personally, January is not a difficult month for me, because my budget in December always carries me over into January. So I glide over January like that. But bring February, that's when my season starts. That's when I start laying out budget plans for the whole year. That's when things start coming up and you start to feel the pinch of it all. My family knows this. My siblings, all of them know this. Don't ask me for financial assistance in February. Don't come with your problems financially in February. Don't bring any projects to me in February. All of my family and my siblings know that, except for my 15-year-old nephew. The only time he checks on me is in February. Every single day in February, he's sending me a message. Good morning, uncle. Good afternoon, uncle. Good evening, uncle. How is work? Only time he checks on me. And the reason for that, because his birthday is in February. I told his mother I'm going to talk about him today in the pulpit. And they said they are going to watch. So maybe they are watching. Denzel, I'm talking about you. That little joker can only remember that he has an uncle in February. But beloved, we live in a society, we live in a world where money is of such importance. But if you want to bring problems to the church, you come and talk about money. Two of the things that are most divisive or problematic in the church is time and money. Try inviting your friends to come to church. They will ask you two questions. What time is the church finishing? Not even starting. What time do you get out? And then you say, okay, in the morning service, by 9:15 you are done. And they say like, so what time do you start? Oh, like 8 o'clock. It's too early. Oh, well, you can come to the next service. What time does it start? 9:15 till what? Well, we normally go 11:30. That's my whole Sunday gone. They always have an excuse for time. And then here's the big one, money. Are you the kind of church that puts several offerings? You have all these collection baskets, all this. There is always this problem of money. And you cannot escape the fact that money is the most divisive and controversial topic within the arena of our Christendom. You and I know one friend, or maybe two friends, that have sworn that they will never give money to the church. Some of them have justifiable reasons, because the church has left a bad taste in their mouths regarding financial misuse. We all hear countless stories of misuse and abuse of church funds, from Pentecostal to Baptist to Catholic to Orthodox. All of us have heard stories about countless abuse of church money. But the irony of this is, we cannot escape it. Because when you read the Bible, the second most topic covered in all scriptures, from Genesis unto Revelation, has one thing to do regarding money. Half of Jesus' teachings covered about money, or how you invest, or money-related matters. Somebody said, like, why do the church need money? And I always answer the question, Jesus' ministry was rich. You know how I know he was rich? Because the disciples, one of them was the treasurer. And poor people don't have treasurers. I've never ever seen somebody who is poor and they said you have a treasurer to keep what? So money is important. So if we come and talk about salvation, we come and talk about deliverance, we come and talk about the finished works of Jesus Christ, we come and talk about all things and neglect the aspect of money because we don't want to disturb the camaraderie in the church, then we are missing something. We are missing something. So I'm sorry if today is your first day in this church. Don't think that that's all we talk about here, money. Because some people will say, the very first day I go to that church, and they were talking about money. In a few minutes, my brother Moindo is going to come and give you a budget, the financial aspect of this church. Why that is important? Because of all these things that we are hearing, the church has looked and they respect the fact that you and I work hard for your money. So you need to know how your money is being spent, where your money is being going, because maybe, just maybe, that will allay the fears that you think that whatever you're giving is going to the pastor's coffers. Whatever you are giving is being misused for something else. So we're going to see a graphic picture. So today, the sermon is not going to be like the normal ones I used to preach. I'm going to touch on one area only, because we see a reason to give. The most important reason why we need to give. Why we need to give money to the church. Why we need to offer. Why we need to give all of these things. And there are many questions that you can ask. Many questions that you can answer. Why should I give my money to the church? How do I honor God with my giving? Why is it blessed, as we read? Why is it blessed to give
than to receive. Why should I bring my tithe and offering to God? Why is giving a commandment from the Lord? Well, I will not be able to answer all of those questions. I will not be able to give you 3 points, but I will just give you one reason, a reason to give. And that one reason is the reason why I should give my money to God. The reason why you should give your money to God. You hear? Because giving glorifies God. Amen? Please say that with me. Giving glorifies God. Let's go. Giving glorifies God. Now, when Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 6, he said, no man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. And two things that always compete: money. In the text, we saw, they say, God and mammon, and the Amplified Version expanded on it. Money, possession, wealth, status, and anything that is valued above God. Because money and those things have the tendency to rival with God. And Jesus is saying that you cannot serve two masters. Either you put one or you put the other on top. And you have to put one or the other on top. Otherwise, what you're going to do, if you cannot make a decision about who controls your life, you're going to live your life in a competition. And God is not in competition with anyone or anything. Remember, he said, I am a jealous God. So we have that tendency. Jesus is saying that you have to make that decision because these possessions have the tendency to control your life. You and I here know, everybody here knows that one person, or maybe that one family member, where the moment they start making money, everything changes. Some, they have different friends. Some even stop talking to you. Some even want to control everything. Some even start speaking with some funny accent. We all know that personality, that once they start to get money, once they start to get fame, once they start to acquire wealth, once they start to acquire possession, everything changes about them. And here is what the scripture is saying, that you have to make that decision. Even in the church, some people, because of the fact that they contribute more towards project, they think they want to control everything in the church. They have to be in every committee. They have to be in every decision making. I'm sorry if they are in civica. They want to control every aspect. They even want to control who preaches in the church. They want to buy their way every single decision. Buy their decision and even try to buy salvation. But I came here to declare and tell somebody this morning, money can buy you possession. Money can buy you wealth. Money can buy you treasures, but it cannot buy you life. Money cannot buy you salvation. Money cannot buy you anything. Why? Because the money you have, you got it from God. It's not your money, it's God's money. It's not your money, it's God's money. So when I have to give back, I give back because it glorifies God. I give back because it tells God I am happy that I have it. So this is my thank you to you. Now, when God says that you try to put that possession above him, he does one of two things. He takes a step back. When you put money above God, he takes a step back. And he's more or less saying like this. Now let's see how your money will do. Let's see where your money will take you. Let's see how much things that money can do for you. God takes a step back because he's not in competition with anyone or anything. Maybe that's why we see some of the richest people. They have some of these strange diseases that their money cannot cure. Their money cannot give them wealth. Maybe that's why we see some of these rich people that with all the money they have, they can be very, very lonely. You know, I love Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson is one of my childhood heroes. Back in the days, I used to even know some of his moves. You cannot grow up in the 80s without dressing like Michael Jackson. You know, you have those Michael Jackson where you have those trousers that will reach here, but then you have the white socks. Everybody sees that you have the white socks. And you have that windbreaker that, you know, you have the band. You all dress like Michael Jackson. And the one which I didn't actually particularly like is the Jerry Curls. But this is Michael Jackson. Michael MJ was famous. MJ had wealth. MJ had everything. But by his own self-admission, he said that he was lonely. He was lonely. He was miserable. And that what happened? That led him into drugs, which ultimately claimed his life. Money cannot buy you anything. When I was in Bukavu, I had some of my colleagues who went to one village. The pilot told them, if you don't finish your job before this particular time, I'm leaving you here. They thought they were joking, and they were walking, and they saw the helicopter leave. And those guys, because of the weather, they stayed in that village for 1 week before they could rescue them. And when they came, one of them told me, William, money is nothing. He said, there was no food, there was no water. I actually gave one lady $100 for a 1.5 bottle liter of water. So they had all the money in their pocket, but they could not find food, they could not find water. So this is what Jesus is saying, that money is not anything. And God is saying, you want to put money before me? I take a step back, because if I'm not God over you, I'm God over nothing. If I'm not God over your life, I'm God over nothing. So my giving, when I decide that I'm going to give to God, I glorify God by saying that if I must choose between trusting my money or trusting God, I trust God. If I must choose between trusting possession and trusting God, I trust God. Because you can die today. How many people have we seen? They have gone. Their properties remain, but they are no more. Other people are enjoying. That's why I always tell my colleagues, enjoy while you have the strength. Enjoy it while you have the power. Enjoy whatever you do. Why? Because you die today, somebody is going to enjoy that wealth. Somebody who's not even talking to you is going to benefit from what you worked for. Money is nothing, but God is everything. Money is nothing, but God is everything. You know, as I said, this is a short sermon. In the U.S., they have names for everything. They have names for everything, especially in the African-American society. And there is this word that relates to this sermon that I like very much. It's called fronting. F-R-O-N-T-I-N apostrophe. Fronting. Fronting is when you present yourself to live one way in public and it's different from how you live at home. When you present yourself to the social world that you have this status, but in other words, you live a different life at home. I'll give you an example. Fronting is like you go to a restaurant, or you go to a lounge, or you go to a club, and you buy a bottle of champagne. You buy drinks for all of your friends. You even have a private table in the restaurant, but yet you don't have a job. That's fronting. Fronting is you have an iPhone, you have a Gucci bag, you have a Louis Vuitton bag, but yet every single day, you're at your friend's house to eat their food because you can't buy food to eat. That's fronting. You're fronting if you have a car that costs six figure or five figure. You have the latest Mercedes or BMW, but yet at night, you park in a corner, you park outside somebody's house, and you sleep inside the car because you don't have a house to live in. That's fronting. Fronting is when you live one way, but in the other way, it's different from how you, in reality, how you live. So now that you understand fronting, allow me to indict some folks in the church, not Sebeka, in the church generally, which I call sanctified or religious fronting. Sanctified or religious fronting. You ready? You are fronting if you come to church and you wear a $350 suit, a $250 shoes, but when it's time for offering, you put 500 francs. That's fronting. You are fronting if you spend $100 at the saloon, doing your hair, doing your nails, doing your toes, doing everything to come to church, and when the usher stands before you to come and to call you to preach an offering, you turn and look the other way because you don't have a dime in the pocket. That's fronting. You are fronting if you are an usher. You stand there every day to bring somebody to come and put their offering, but yet you yourself don't put a dime inside this box, you are fronting. If you are in the choir, you sing every day in front of here, from adoration to benediction to offering, and that box is right in front of you, and you never put a single franc inside that box, you are fronting. If you're a musician, you play that drums, you play that guitar, you play that keyboard, all the songs, all the choruses in the church, and it's time for offering, you never take a single cent to give your friend, say, whilst you're going, drop it in that box for me because I'm playing the piano, you are fronting. Everybody's going to have theirs. If you are a pastor, you are a preacher, you are a priest, you are a reverend, you stand in front of your congregation to preach a wonderful sermon that giving is better to give than to receive, but you never get out of that altar to deposit your offering, that is a sanctified fronting. So nudge somebody and say, stop fronting. Stop fronting. Give unto God that which God has given unto you. Give unto God that which God, God, the Bible tells us, can a man rob God? No, we cannot rob God. Stop fronting. Give to God because I glorify God by giving. I glorify God because when He gives to me, I appreciate the fact that God has given and made so many provisions to me, I give back to God. I glorify God because He opened doors for me, I bring the tithes and offerings to God. I glorify God because He's healed me, He's protected me, He's guided me, He's lived me all the days of my life. So I've got to show some gratitude to God by giving back what He has given to me. I give because I glorify God. I give because I love God. I give because I trust God. I give because I want the Lord to know that in Him I do trust and obey. I give to glorify God because it's the evidence that God is over everything in my life. Paul tells us in Acts 20:35, it is blessed to give than to receive. It is blessed to give than to receive. Because when Jesus died on that cross, those blood on the hands, they purchased deliverance from insufficiency and lack. And the Bible tells you that everything that we need has been deposited in the inside of us. So when we give, we align ourselves to the Word of God to receive the provisions so that it can be manifest in our lives. That's what Paul meant by it's blessed to give than to receive. Because if you don't give, you are not in position to receive the provisions of God. Amen? So make up your mind this morning that I'm going to give, and I know I'm going to watch when people are coming up, that I'm going to give because in my giving, I glorify God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we bless you for your word. Your word says, speak the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We know that we are free in you, and we thank you for this word, and we pray and ask your Holy Spirit, Lord, that this word may be imbibed in our hearts, and because we believe that in giving back to you, we make that story, we make that decision that you are Lord over our life. Thank you, Father. And the words of our mouth and the meditations of all our hearts this morning will be accepted unto you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.